Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sing up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord who commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name is only exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people, and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
A reading from Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his hands and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel, or of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. A decade ago, Phyllis Tickle wrote her book, The Great Emergence: How the Church is Changing and Why. In it, she observed a pattern of major shifts in the history of the church. She noted that the church changed the focus for authority. She also pointed out that with these shifts come a great cost. She acknowledged patterns of great conflict which exacted death tolls. She noted that the church is living in just such a time now. She marked the beginning of this time, at least in the United States, with the Civil War, where much of the church had focused before then on the Word of God as authoritative for the past 500 years, following reformers like Martin Luther and others. She walked through the gradual shift away from that source of authority. The church today is in a process of defining a new sense of authority, identifying the source of that authority for the coming half millennium. What she observes includes that 500-year periods wherein the church experiences great changes. She notes the violence and the loss of life associated with conflict that the shift evokes between those holding on to the former ways and those seeking to embrace what is new. Today, the church hears that Jesus' parents follow the laws about purification and offering sacrifices. Several times over, the author reminds all who hear that what they do fulfills the law of Moses, the law of the Lord. They meet two people in the temple, Simeon and Anna. Each has lived devoutly and righteously in so many ways. Simeon and Anna have waited for signs of salvation and the fulfillment of promises made long ago. Each experiences the end of their wait. And yet this ending brings new beginning. Perhaps Simeon's song and message to Mary serves as a first century observation similar to Phyllis Tickle's, or maybe better. The church can recognize in Tickle's observation roots in Simeon's words. First, Simeon praises God. The church knows so many musical settings of these words. Many of you know my affinity for the setting from the Detroit Folk Mass. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. The long wait had ended. In this 8-day-old child, in the temple in Jerusalem, Simeon had met salvation face to face. Phyllis Tickle would call this moment great precisely because it inaugurates the great transformation where God walks among us, Emmanuel. Yet the backside of all this salvation thing comes with a prediction of great loss, sorrow, and pain for Mary. Simeon says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." In fact, those who embrace the new understanding of the reign of God which Jesus ushers in experienced, and with each 500-year cycle, continue to experience persecution and death. So often those who wish to retain the former ways for reasons from personal comfort to, well, power and authority, seek to control others. They seek to control their thoughts, to control their beliefs, their actions, their bodies. Today, the church and the world experience these kinds of costs of transformation with people of color, with women, with the LGBTQIA community. The efforts show up in election redistricting processes, in voter identification law, in ostensibly medical protection laws around reproductive health and gender-affirming care for those who have need. The cost often includes the lives of others. Indeed, so often the reality involves identifying people as so other that they become no longer human. And in making that move, people too easily rationalize violence against body, emotions, and spirit. As Raj Nadella notes, Mary's response to Simeon is silence. In fact, in Luke's gospel, when Gabriel announces that she will conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, she responds with some pointed questions before she says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." When Elizabeth announces to her, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord," she responds with the song we just sang, a song of great reversals. When the shepherds told them what they had heard from the angels, she treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. In the temple, when Simeon and later Anna glorify God for having met the baby Jesus, the salvation of the world, and Simeon names both salvation and great sorrow. Silence. Nadella goes on to write, it is a poignant prophecy about what awaits her and her family, requiring great sacrifices on their part. Mary's destiny is tied to that of the nation, but the same news that brings comfort to the nation will bring her immense pain. Jesus' work of confronting structures of power will bring redemption, but it will also put Mary and others in harm's way. The force of Simeon's prophecy and the complex realities it anticipates require a profound response, one that words could not sufficiently articulate. And Mary offers one through her profound silence. Silence becomes that emotional and intellectual space where Mary holds the two anticipated realities in tension. As the body of Christ, the church holds similar tension, announcing comfort, liberation, and new life for peoples experiencing oppression, denigration, and subjugation. Indeed, the church has a call to work for justice and peace that sustains all people. All people. The cost, though, involves seeking reconciliation, seeking the good for all, working for justice modeled on God's commitment to love, a commitment to mercy, working from a location of love and mercy, seeking the well-being of the least among us, often pushes against the stream. Perhaps Simeon's prophecy to Mary speaks also to the stakes for the church. Over the course of 3 years, a team of St. Andrew's members invited the congregation to more fully and publicly embody a place of welcome to the LGBTQIA community. Some elements of this work still make members anxious. The inclusion team has also invited this congregation to ponder and act on new awareness of racism. Another team has invited this congregation to seek paths that care for creation. Each of these conversations have sought to include people of many points of view, even as the various teams had specific understandings of good news of Jesus Christ. In many ways, the congregation has paid various costs. Mary holds the tension of two realities. So too, St. Andrew's has opportunity to hold emotional and intellectual space for growing into the fullness of God's call to mercy, love, forgiveness, and grace. Eventually, this baby acknowledged as Savior of the nations will announce a call to repentance, to be changed by encounter with God. Jesus was the change then. Phyllis Tickle invites the church to recognize ways that Jesus continues to enact change for the sake of the world today.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's SaintAndrewsLutheran.org. Have a glorious week.